Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast that helps you sculpt your dreams into reality. For this episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday. That means it's time for another installment of Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. Hey there, listener. I hope the content on this podcast helps you in your spiritual practice and that it provides inspiration and motivation for you today. You know, I make next to nothing on this podcast, financially speaking, although there are other rewards that I receive and find extremely valuable. If you're able and willing, consider offering a small monetary donation every month. You can do as little as $1 per month or as much as $10 per month. This would be much appreciated and very supportive. I really do appreciate you taking the time to listen. If you are interested in becoming a supporter, just look for a link in the description of the podcast. You'll find it there. Click that link and sign up to become a supporter today. Thanks again. All right, Tuesday Taoism. For those of you completely new to this podcast, we have a couple series for you, Tuesday Taoism being one of them. We also have our Zen stream on Sundays, and then throughout the week, you'll find two or three more episodes based on Law of Attraction. Once in a while, you may also hear the IQ series. I am debating whether to keep that going or not. Not sure at the moment. That basically stands for inspirational quotes. If anybody really loves inspirational quotes, it's a good time to hop onto YouTube, search for any one of my Dreams Warp videos, and leave a comment under any one of them. Just let me know, hey, I'm coming over from your podcast. Want to let you know I really like the IQ series. I think you should continue it. But otherwise, you know, programming is always subject to change based on the number of listeners and how things are going. So, again, that's up in the air, but Tuesday Taoism should be ongoing and Zen Stream as well. And on this podcast, you will find all that information coming to you to help you in manifesting the life of your dreams and overall just living a happier day-to-day life. So the Tuesday Taoism is based on the Tao Te Ching. It's a book, a foundation of Taoism, written 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. And obviously, it's been translated hundreds, if not thousands of times. It's a book of ancient Chinese wisdom. And the translation I'm reading from, is by a gentleman named Stephen Mitchell. Translations vary a whole lot, and meaning coming out of each translation can vary a whole lot. And I just really like this translation. It's been one of my favorites. I first discovered this book as a teenager, had a huge impact on me, and I just find it does an amazing job of untying knots of resistance or knots of thinking we sometimes get stuck in, gets us off that mouse wheel in our minds, gets us more present, more mindful, and most importantly, connects us more strongly to source, or makes us more aware, I should say, of our connection to source. For those of you interested, little historical background, it is said that when Buddhism came from India into China, at the time, there were two major philosophies at that time, Confucianism and Taoism, and it is said that the Buddhism that came from India merged with Taoism in China and became Zen Buddhism, which eventually spread out to Vietnam and Japan, and really took off in some other countries, as well as China. But anyway, without further ado, we have been reading one tiny little chapter per week, and we are up to chapter 41, 41 weeks. Yes, yes, yes. So we're reading chapter 41, and then we'll discuss it a little bit, and hopefully we'll get something cool out of this. So again, this is Tao Te Ching, chapter 41, translated by Stephen Mitchell. When a superior man hears of the Tao, he immediately begins to embody it. When an average man hears of the Tao, he half believes it, half doubts it. When a foolish man hears of the Tao, he laughs out loud. If he didn't laugh, it wouldn't be the Tao. Thus, it is said, The path into the light seems dark. The path forward seems to go back. The direct path seems long. True power seems weak. True purity seems tarnished. True steadfastness seems changeable. True clarity seems obscure. The greatest art seems unsophisticated. The greatest love seems indifferent. The greatest wisdom seems childish. The Tao is nowhere to be found, yet it nourishes and completes all things. And that's the end of the chapter right there. I gotta be honest with you. This chapter, you could probably do a whole series on this chapter. And I'm like I said, to be perfectly clear, there's a lot of stuff in this chapter that I probably will not get to in one episode here unless we were going to go on for about an hour. So I'm going to kind of go over what I think are, to me, some major points, but there's really so much to dissect here. Like I said, it could go on and on and on. So let's start with a little bit more of the obvious stuff. Where he starts out saying, a superior man hears of the Tao, he immediately begins to embody it. Now, I just want to point out something here. And you know what? Let me read the next couple of lines before I do. The next line says, when an average man hears of the Tao, he half believes, half doubts. And when a foolish man hears of the Tao, he laughs out loud. So, this really, for me, in my mind, connects very strongly to the idea of when you, I think of the word belief, okay, that word belief, and you see, let's take here, just since we talk so much about law of attraction on this podcast and on the YouTube channel, you know, we talk about how, we talk about alignment and how when you completely align yourself with something, there is no more thinking about it, there is no more desiring it, there is no more desperation. You just immediately align, right? It's just that simple. You immediately align to it. And when I read these three lines, he says, when a superior man hears of the Tao, he immediately begins to embody it, meaning there's no thinking involved, right? There's just, oh, yes, I connect with this. I resonate with this. Some part of me that is beyond my thinking rational mind just feels very moved or very inspired by what I am reading, what I am hearing, what I am understanding, and I immediately feel a shift in my state of being, a shift in my vibration. In other words, immediately embodying it. Now, the average man, as it says here, hears of the Tao, half believes it, half doubts it. And this is a classic example of someone who is on the fence about something, right? They're not fully committed. They're still thinking about it a lot. And this does not apply, by the way, to just law of attraction stuff, right? This really applies to whatever you want to apply yourself to in your life. You either 100% you're in or you're out. Like the last example, when a foolish man hears of the Tao, he laughs out loud. And he says if he didn't laugh, it wouldn't be the Tao. So it's interesting here how he uses, I think, the laughing, right, as kind of a way of saying that it's the Tao is something that you will either completely align with, or if you're just not, I guess what I'm trying to say is that for it to be really as powerful as it is, there has to be someone or a group of people out there who react to it in a way that is completely rejecting it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be something so special, if that makes sense. So you have these three types of people. The ones who will completely embody it, the ones who stay on the fence, and the ones who will just laugh out loud at it. Now, again, that's the more obvious side of this thing. As we continue to read on, though, I want to get into these lines, where it says the path, I'm sorry, it says here, thus it is said, and then it goes, the path into the light seems dark, the path forward seems to go back, the direct path seems long, true power seems weak, true purity seems tarnished, true steadfastness seems changeable, true clarity seems obscure, The greatest art seems unsophisticated. The greatest love seems indifferent. The greatest wisdom seems childish. He really seems to be going out of his way through all of these examples to point at something. And I want to get into exactly what that is in just a second. Let me just give a break here for a word from a sponsor. I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. Thank you for your patience. So, like I said, he gives us quite a number of lines here to point at something. And the fact that he includes so many lines, to me, must mean that it's somewhat important. Now, these series of lines that I just read to you, what they bring to my mind just visually is the yin-yang symbol, right? Yin-yang, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it, but I'm sure you're all familiar with what I'm talking about. The black and white symbol almost looks like two fishes swimming around one another, and each one has an eye that's the opposite color. And it's a perfect representation of these lines that he's saying, right? The path to the light seems dark, the path forward seems to go back, etc., etc. And what we're seeing here very, very clearly, which is a theme that's been touched on in a lot of previous chapters, is that because of our perception, the nature of the way our brain perceives reality, and our five senses, we split everything into two. That's the classic thing of duality. And without a point of reference, which is often called in Nichiren Buddhism, the interdependent origination, that without opposites, there nothing would exist. So in other words, without up, there is no down. Without down, there is no up. Without good, there is no bad. Without in, there is no out. Everything is split into two. And again, that's not ultimate reality. That's just a consequence or a byproduct of our perception. And I feel that this book, as I've said to you many times, does an amazing job of pointing us back to the one by using the paradox of duality. So here, this is a very, very clear example of this. The path into the light seems dark. The path forward seems to go back. The direct path seems long. True power seems weak. One of my favorite of these lines, by the way, and they're all so good, but one of my favorites is the greatest love seems indifferent. And I find that when you look at, for example, a lot of times, and I've heard people say this, and I don't want to go too far off on a tangent here because it's very easy for me to do that, but I have heard many people say that the universe overall is indifferent. The universe is just a copying machine. It just, whatever you believe to be true, whatever your beliefs are, whatever vibration you hold, it will copy that. And that's just basically all it does. It is really indifferent as to, you know, whether, like, there's no real, I guess, hesitate to say this, there's no real love, there's no real emotion behind everything. It's basically just a copy machine. And I find that the universe generally, in my experience, has been benevolent, has been loving, has been caring. But again, that's just a matter of opinion, and that's a matter of life experience. But this is a good example where he says, the greatest love seems indifferent. And you could interpret that a lot of different ways. I often think of, I used to, when I was a teenager, early teen years, I used to practice Kung Fu, and I had a teacher who seemed very indifferent toward me, but I felt that in a way, it was a way to keep from enabling me. It was a way for me to develop on my own. And you can also see this in many cases in relationships between parent and children. Most parents love their children to death. But at some time, the child needs to kind of learn how to stand up on his own, how to fend for himself, him or herself, how to, you know, function in this world. And at those times, sometimes the parent's love can seem to be lacking or seem to be indifferent. So I find that that's a very, very good line. Also, he says the greatest art seems unsophisticated. True clarity seems obscure. You know, this also makes me think of the legend of the phoenix, right? The phoenix rising. It's another one of those archetypes, you know, that you hear a lot about, is that a lot of times the greatest spiritual sages, for example, like Siddhartha Gautama, is said to have been the inspiration for enlightenment comes from suffering. And in many Buddhist schools, you will hear that without ignorance, there can be no enlightenment. Without suffering, there can be no freedom. There can be no joy, right? Without loneliness, there can be no love. So again, what we're seeing here, and this is the paradox that this chapter is pointing to, is that the opposite creates its opposite. So a lot of times when you are walking a path, it may seem like a path toward, like it says here, the darkness, but it eventually leads to the light. And this is, of course, again, he's pointing here so, so clearly at the fact that the reason that these two lead to one another is because they are ultimately the same thing. It's our perception and our judgment and our thinking and our brains that is splitting it into opposites. In ultimate reality, they are all one. They're all one. And again, it's each one of these lines you could go into and talk more and more about. But then we got to go to the last couple of lines, which is just brilliant, where he says, "The Tao is nowhere to be found, yet it nourishes and completes all things." So right there, we have the final sort of blow, the final paradox, where he's saying that the Tao embodies and brings all manifestations into existence, but you can't perceive it. All you see is the manifestations. And this again goes back to chapter one, where if you are lost in the small rational thinking mind, the mind of forms, of concepts, kind of the two-dimensional day-to-day practical mind, all you will see, if you are lost in that mind, all you will see is the manifestations, the forms, and you could get lost in this world of forms and concepts. But in that same chapter, he alludes to that which gives rise to all the forms, which is the formless. You could call it source, you could call it God, you could call it universal consciousness, you could call it a quantum, you know, particles, whatever you want. In reality transurfing, it loosely translates into the space of variations. So this is all the potential which brings all manifestations into reality. But ultimately, according to the Tao Te Ching, that duality is an illusion. It's not real. And what is beyond that duality is the Tao, which we can obviously not perceive directly, but it is what actually gives rise to the formless and the formed. So, like I said, a lot to dissect in this particular chapter. I think I got the major points. As usual, anything you want to add, questions, comments, concerns, anything, again, just go on to YouTube, search for Dreams Warp, two separate words, find any one of my videos, post a comment, say, "Hey, I just heard your podcast on the Tao Te Ching. I had a question about this, comment about that, concern about this." Always love engaging with listeners and viewers in the comments section. I'm very fast to respond. You'll hear back from me within a day, 2 days tops. You could also check the description of all my videos for a completely free subliminal. You should go get that right away. It's absolutely free. And you'll also find a link in all the descriptions of the videos for in case you want to book one-on-one time with me to ask questions or do full-on coaching. I hope you enjoyed this installment of Tuesday Taoism. Stay tuned tomorrow or the day after. I'll be back with another Law of Attraction episode. Take care.